Are you aware? Are you feeling natural? What was your mind like a minute ago? Did you see the bright mind when you were having breakfast? There's one person, very honest. What other defilements did you see? Anger, hatred, anxiety? There are more now because it doesn't sound terrible. Who had scattered mind? Scattered mind is very dangerous. We feel like it can be forgiven. It's not very dangerous. Mind is greedy, sounds ugly. When your mind is lusty, it sounds ugly. Women cannot say it. But scattered mind is actually the father, the mother of the greedy mind. It's more acceptable, but it's actually the worst. Delusion is the worst. Greed has the lowest negative impact. Anger has very strong negative effects. Greed has small amount of negative effects. However, but it's very hard to clean away. Anger is very hard, has very bad negative effects. However, it's very hard, easy to cleanse away. It's easy to observe. When you're feeling irritated, you want it to go away, you would keep watching it, you keep observing it. When you have sufferings in life, you keep observing it, you practice hard. But when you're happy, you just drift away with it, you don't practice as hard. Therefore, the cravings, the lusts, actually has less negative impacts, but it's actually harder to cleanse away. Anger, hatred has very strong negative effects on you, but it's easier to cleanse away. Happiness, comfort, pleasure. Does it come with raka, the greed? Yes, just like angels, they have greed. But if they have anger, the angels would die very fast. The way to kill an angel is to make them angry. Brahma also has a lot of greed, but not anger, not hatred. They have a lot of compassion. When you have a lot of compassion, your mind becomes very sweet. Delusion is the worst kind. It has the most negative impacts and is very hard to cleanse away. And it's hard for us to admit that it has negative impacts on us. Delusion is very hard to cleanse away, because we don't see the impact of it. Greed is also very hard to cleanse away because we don't see the bad impacts on us. Greed and delusion are very bad and it's hard to cleanse away, and we don't see the negative impacts on us very easily. Greed is easier to observe, to be aware of. When your mind drifts away, wanders away, it's not illegal, it's not violating any rules or precepts. However, greed, when you want somebody else's materials, it's actually illegal, and it's also violating the precepts and the rules, the moralities. Therefore, we don't appreciate the danger of delusion. In the past, when he paid a visit to Luang Phu Thet, he went with a friend. His friend asked Luang Phu Thet. He said he wants to cleanse away his greed, but his mind doesn't want to. Luang Phu said, if your mind doesn't want to, then you cannot. Then your mind, then his mind, then suddenly flips into anger and the hatred. Just because when he said, you are not willing to, then you cannot give up. And then other people could hear it and he got angry. When someone is embarrassed and then you become angry, some people are like that. Luang Phu Thet said, when you are still unwilling to give it away, then you became angry. But Luang Phu has a lot of compassion because he noticed from the face, became very stiff. Then the next thing Luang Phu Thet said, to calm down his anger, he said that you have to see the bad impacts and negative effects that it had on you in order to cleanse it away, willing to let go of it. Just like we don't see the negative impacts of delusions, you're not willing to let go of it. And then his friend of mine also went to see Luang Phu Dun. And then he told a story about Luang Phu Thet, saying that you have to see the negative impacts. Luang Phu Dun suddenly concluded, he's a very straightforward person. He said you have to see the sufferings by saying that you see the negative impacts of it means you have to see the sufferings. Unless you see the sufferings, you're going to not be able to let go of it. When you love someone, you feel the sufferings. Until you see the sufferings from loving someone, holding on to someone, your mind's not going to let go. So many teachers say, unless you see the sufferings, you will not see the negative impacts, and you will not let go, you will not cleanse it away. Your mind will not cleanse it away until you see the negative impact, the sufferings, you will not cleanse it away. So the objective of observing your body and mind, you will just see that it's all about sufferings. It's sufferings more, sufferings less, subject to the situation and the cause. When you consistently see that it's all about sufferings, there's no happiness in it, your mind will start to let go. You'll stop holding on to everything. When you have sati observing your body, you would see all the time it's all sufferings. Then you're hungry, you're feeling cold, you're feeling hot, you're too full, you need to go to the restroom. Your body aching and you have different diseases. The older you get, the more diseases you get. You will see that your body is full of sufferings. The more you observe, the more you will see that your body is actually full of sufferings, and then your mind will start to let go. It's not about happiness and sufferings. It's about a lot of sufferings or less sufferings. There is nothing else but sufferings. In your body, it's only sufferings arises, stay, and disappears. And then when your mind truly see it, you would just totally let go of the ownership of the mind. It's just like you're holding on to something. You're holding something in your hand, holding your fist tight, and then one day you open your hands and you see that it's just some dog poops inside your hand, you're suddenly trying to wash it away. Just the same thing with your mind and your body. Your mind's holding tight the ownership of your body. But once you actually see that it's all sufferings, Sometimes it's just, you just throw it away, throw it so hard. Sometimes it's throw so hard that it goes through the wall of the monk's hut. Just because your mind is already putting down your body, you no longer hesitant because you already see it's all suffering. Either it's a lot or it's less. Can you see that your body sometimes is happy, sometimes is suffering? Until the wisdom is full, then you would see the bad effects of your body and mind. Both your minds and body just full of suffering. Even the happiness is also suffering. It piercing to your mind, it disturbs your mind. Once you start to see that happiness actually is piercing through your mind as well, it's actually some sort of disturbances for your mind, it's also sufferings. When people who do not actually have problems in life, you just drift through life and you just don't see any sufferings until you're old. So you're throwing away, you're wasting away one lifetime. But actually when you're observing the sufferings, every day is suffering. When your mind see that all there is to your mind is suffering, there is nothing else, your mind will put down, will give up your mind and return it to the world. Sometimes the moment of the giving up, it's a very strong moment. It sounds like, it feels like lightning hit. The moment, the mind moving away from defilement, it takes a lot of energy to remove the mind from the defilements. It's a very strong energy to remove the mind from the defilements. So it actually moves the world. And actually could go through other realms. Angels and from they would anumotana sattu. When there is a new nirvana, enlightenment, a new nirvana achieved, it actually moves the world in different realms. In the past, it happened quite frequently, but nowadays, it takes a long time. Once in a blue moon, there will be one happening. When you see the sufferings, then you see Dhamma. Don't be afraid of sufferings, don't hate sufferings. That is the best teacher for you. It's a very tough teacher. It's not a sweet, kind teacher. Happiness is a kind teacher, it's a sweet, sweet teacher. Suffering is a very strict teacher without any exceptions. Everyone will suffer. There is no exception for anybody. Everyone suffers. It doesn't matter when you can study and understand the sufferings. We don't want to understand, we don't want to see, we want to escape from it. So when sufferings arises, we want it to disappear rather than be aware. Be conscious and mindful of it impartially. Happiness, sufferings, wholesomeness and unwholesomeness, slowly learn more about them, understand the truth about them, and your mind will release when mind will let go. In the past, the mind moves around, stays here, goes there, your mind will start transforming into a stable observer. There's no dimension to it, there is no spot, there's no space, there is no come and go, there's no rebirth. When you end and cleanse everything, there is no rebirth. The mind would be empty, empty from all the five aggregates. The aggregates are there, the mind just doesn't pick it up anymore. So it's free from the five aggregates, from any fabrications, good or bad, sufferings or happiness, you will have the equanimity. It's a different kind of happiness, but it will never consume the mind ever again. It's just empty. It's just free, free from self, free from the aggregates, free from any fabrication, free from any defilements. So the emptiness doesn't mean emptiness is a misunderstanding, is a misconception. Nibbana is not a misconception. There is still happiness. There is actually no, not happiness. Actually, there is tranquility, there's calmness. Free from the aggregates, free from the defilements, free from any fabrications. It doesn't mean that when you have reached Nibbana, it doesn't mean that you don't have anything at all. That's actually a misconception. Nibbana means empty and brightness? No, that's not true. Why is it bright? Nibbana is bright and empty and clean and pure. Even wholesomeness cannot overtake the mind. If you're still pleased, you're still happy about wholesomeness, the good deeds, actually you're not free from any of these. So it's bright. So inside, it feels like a log or a stone. Outside, there's no shape or form. There's no movement inside. There's no fabrication. There's no searching. There's no hunger. Our minds actually hunger all the time for the phenomena, for the emotions. We want this flavor, we want this touch, we want this noise, we want these sights, just because your minds are hungry. Once you reach Nibbana, you actually stop this hunger. You're not searching for anything. The mind no longer moves inside. There's nothing left. There is nothingness left. It's only the super happiness, peace, the ultra happiness. This study can be achieved. The Buddha has already showed a way to achieve this happiness. He doesn't say anything is empty, it's not sunyata, it's not nothingness. He has taught us the approach, the pathway to achieve Nibbana. Make sure you have the morality, the concentration, meditation, the concentration, and the wisdom. Unless you see the sufferings, you don't see the negative impacts, your mind will not get tired of this, and you will not let go. So today I teach for half an hour. There's already no time. It's already 9:30. The time is up. It's already 9:30. Can you not ask questions today? Who cannot, who has to ask questions, raise your hand. Can we skip a day of no questions? I already teach the best of Dhamma. This is not taught everywhere. Once I teach it, someone would come back and ask me, how did you know? He would say, he said he has a very good teacher. Teacher has taught me. You have to practice. Everything I taught you today, once you practice, you will slowly discover and experience it yourself. Your mind that used to be asleep, now you are awake, you are aware, you are being mindful. You never expected that the body and mind could separate out. So everything that I taught you, you have to practice. And then you realize it for yourself. Following us, just like the train. The engine goes ahead and then the body of the train follows. Just like the Buddha led us. And then he followed the Buddha. And then the rest of us follow. If you run, you can run faster, just pass everyone else. You can overpass anyone. Those who claim to be Arahant, they cannot ask questions in front of the people. This is such a special Dhamma that cannot be said in front of other people. If it's a real Arahant, you're not afraid of showing or saying it in front of other people. You don't have to have a private session. There's no private session. Dhamma, it's public. It can be disclosed to everyone. It's very straightforward, simple. Everyone who said this, from what he has seen, they are not real. So whoever say you, tell you that they have reached Nibbana, have become pra-arahant, some people believe it. However, when the real teacher teach the real stuff, a lot of people don't believe. However, when people fool you, you seem to want to believe. When some people speak the truth, we may question whether it's true. But when you actually speak some false information, it's easier to believe. Breathe and see your body breathing. Observe it. The moment you see your body breathing, do you feel tight in your mind? That means you're already interfering with your mind. You're not just observing it impartially, neutrally. Use your natural state of mind, observing the natural state of your body. Use the natural state of mind, observing your mind. Don't simplify and make or fabricate your mind and then try to observe it. Can you feel that you're not being normal? Hey, that girl, can you feel that you're not feeling normal? Do you realize that you're feeling very excited? Left and right, someone is next to you, we're in the middle. So he's finding the next victim. So he's cold calling today because he's not allowing questions. It's more scary than allowing to ask questions. Now he's looking for someone to cold call. Some people, it's very good to ask, but they look too scared. They might get too intimidated. Can you feel that it's very tight in your mind? Very stiff? Why are you feeling the tightness? Because you're being careful. Oh, he's looking this way. I have to look away. I have to pretend to be calm and composed. When he turns away, then you feel relieved. Just like a student in a classroom. When a teacher looks at you, when the good one would just make eye contact and smile, then the teacher always skip that student. When someone's avoiding eye contact, looking away, the teacher will have to call that student. Okay, please go home.